Genesis chapter 5, I'm just going to skip around and read here a little bit. Verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man. In the likeness of God made he him. Male and female made he them. And blessed them, called their name Adam in the day when they were created. The Bible says, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. I believe that, don't you? I believe Adam was made from the dust of the earth. I mean, think about that. A man that had come forth, created by God, and has a family, begins to have children, and lives over 900 years. Lives over 900 years. Now, in this line of Seth, you can read on down a wonderful family line. And you have, Enoch and Methuselah, and then you've got Lamech, and then you've got Noah. In verse 28, and Lamech lived 182 years, and begat a son at 182 years old. Begat a son. And he called his name Noah. Now look at this. Saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. I want to look in and around Noah's life and Noah's relationship with the ground. And here they had, from the time that Adam and Eve had sinned, and then God asked them, what have you done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me. And the man said, the woman thou gavest me did give to me, and I did eat. I've often thought about that. Thinking about, and this is just a thought, I was thinking about Adam and Eve living in perfect paradise with creation, and she could understand the words of that serpent. She could communicate with it. And it didn't seem unusual. Didn't say she was startled. Now, we know Satan was behind that. But the fact is, it came through just like Balaam's ass that turned around and talked to him. How, I mean, that's uncommon. That don't happen today. Animals don't speak English, most of them, amen? But they were in paradise. And they could communicate with creation. Think about what a blessing that was for Adam and Eve to be able to communicate with all of those animals. I mean, it's a thought. If she could understand one, that she'd be able to understand maybe a few others, maybe many others, maybe all of them before the fall. And then there was the sin. And I don't know if we'll... I guess it'll be as different as this world right here and when we all get to heaven with Jesus. And you see how different it is, and we'll realize just how much we lost in the fall. Of course, it won't matter then. But God, when God began to talk to them and give them their punishment, he gave the serpent his punishment. That, you know, upon his belly, he's cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And you'll find this in chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. And dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Dust. Down in the dirt, in the earth, eating the dust. And I will put enmity between the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The promise of Christ right there. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. I'm going to multiply, greatly multiply thy sorrow and conception. When she conceived, she didn't just conceive one or two or maybe even three, greatly multiplied her conception. The most we've ever, I guess, probably seen is what? Maybe six most of the time? I thought I heard about octuplets at one time. Eight. Do you think that Eve could have carried 8, 10, 12? God said, greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam, he said, and Adam, you know, he means his name means red dirt, or, you know, man from the earth. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed. Cursed. Is the ground. Cursed is the ground. For thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So, I'm looking at the relation here between Adam's curse and the curse of the ground. God cursed the ground for his sake. Cursed it. Made it to where thorns and thistles came forth from it. It was not easy. I'm going to say this. No doubt it was very hard for Adam to get anything out of the ground. Even to know what to do with it. And to keep the thorns and thistles from something that he was trying to grow. Because it was cursed. And I looked up these words. And, you know, when he said unto Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed. Cursed. And that word is A-R-A-R. And it means bitterly cursed. Bitterly cursed. Cursed is the ground for thy sake in sorrow. Itzabon. And that means worrisome labor or pain. Worrisome labor or pain. It's one thing to labor, but it's another thing to have worrisome labor. You ever done your job, Brother Brandon? The day seems to go smooth, and then you have one of them days where everything seems to go wrong. And you feel like you're trying to take one step forward, and before you do, you're getting jerked back five. Worrisome labor. And pain. It was painful. I've seen pictures and I've heard of stories years ago when, before the cotton gin came, people, slaves, and they had picked cotton and their fingertips was just cut to pieces from picking that cotton where it's so sharp, those sharp thorns and things in there. And some of them people, they had just like big calloused fingers where they'd done it for their whole life. But it would cut you all to pieces. Painful. Painful labor. In the sweat of thy face, thou shalt eat bread. There was nothing easy about working the ground and getting anything from it. And why, after all those years, the curse, men had waxed worse, and then in the line of Seth, a young man by the name of Noah is born. And his father says, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." What's he going to do? What is it? Why is Noah, or what is Noah going to do that's going to be a comfort to mankind concerning the work and the toil of their hands? Working the ground. You know, in life, we have different scenarios with family, with the job, with people in the church, whatever it may be. And it's just like our labor field. It's something that we pick at and work at, and sometimes it's bitter and it's hard and it's painful and it's worrisome. It can be some of the roughest terrain to try to get any fruit off of at all. Just trying to work it. Some people would just give up and throw in the towel and let that just grow up and be choked out. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm thinking about all these people here, and you know, how many times those men went out, and there it is, the cursed earth. And they have to live in that. And they have to do something with it. It's there before us. And the condition of it, we can't change it. The only thing we can do is work it. And it's worrisome and painful. What do we do? How can we continue? What did Noah do to comfort us concerning our work and toil? Well, I'll tell you one thing Noah did. He found grace in the eyes of God. He found grace in the eyes of God. In chapter 6, verse number 8, that's what the Bible said. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. First thing Noah did, instead of trying to bust up the earth and worry himself over the earth, he walked with God. Walk with God first. Walk with God first. I'm getting somewhere, and I'll show you where I'm going so that you'll know. This is the man that brought them through the flood. This is the man that worked. I mean, him and his sons, they labored. They built this ark, this box with a window in it, pitched it within and without with pitch, gathered all those animals, or God gathered them rather. You think about the work that this man did. The day that he was in, I mean, men were just wicked, evil in the sight of the Lord. Wicked and evil. God said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. In chapter number 6. The imagination of the thoughts in verse number 5 of chapter 6. You know, it was only evil continually. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination. But Noah walked with God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible said in chapter 6, look at this. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. This earth that isn't yielding anything. No wonder men were on cursed earth. And I mean, it's deeply, the land, the ground is deeply cursed. You have to work by the sweat of your face to get anything out of that. You have to pay a price. It's not easy. It's not free. You have to sweat and work and labor to bring fruit in that situation. Listen, if you want a situation to bring forth fruit, you've got to be willing to put time and labor into it. Time and effort. You have to see that that something is worth it. Your family is worth it. What God has given you to take care of. What God has blessed you with. We have blessing in the middle of cursings. God picked him out. Noah walked with God. The earth was also corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth. Look. And behold, it was corrupt. Look what he said. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, I'm glad God talked to him. I'm glad that Noah heard him. God said unto Noah, getting to a place where you can talk with the Lord. Where you can hear Him. He found grace. Listen, it's by grace is the first. Grace is always the first. Amen? It's the grace of God that bring us salvation. We are saved by grace. It's God. God gave grace to Noah. Noah walked with God, and then Noah heard God. You can't hear Him if you're not willing to walk with Him. And all this is going to make a difference whether you're going to be able to turn the ground. Turn it into something better. Turn it into something different. Something useful. God said to Noah, now the flood came. And you know, he took seven clean animals and he took two unclean of each one. You know, and I thought about that. Seven and two. Well, he made sacrifice, you know, of those clean animals. Every one of them. When finally, in chapter 7, you see where it started raining in verse number 11, verse 10. And it was in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month of the 17th day of that month, the windows of heaven opened, the fountains of the deep opened up, the flood started. And then you find in chapter 8, verse 13, it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, in the first day of the month. He's talking about of Noah's life. The waters were dried up from off the face of the earth. So he goes from in Noah's life 600 years old, and then he's 2 months and 17 days into that first year. And it starts flooding. And then almost a year later, he was 601, 1 month, and 1 day when it was all dried up. He went out and the ground was dry. The face of the ground was dry. Back in verse 6, it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah had opened the window of the ark which he had made. That was the first thing he did. He had opened the window to heaven where he could look up. That was after 40 days of flood. But he was in there, I guess it looks like, for almost a year. By the time when God had sent the winds to blow, Noah had sent a raven out, and it didn't come back. Noah sent a dove out. Do you remember? It came back empty-handed. He sent it out a little while later, and it came back, and it had an olive leaf plucked off in its hand. Now, when all of that finished, the first thing that Noah did in chapter 8, verse 20, Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. He builded an altar and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. He offered unto the Lord sacrifice. And I often wondered why seven. And I may be even thinking of it wrong. Well, I'm not going to get into that yet. Anyways, he come down. He had six of the clean and two of the unclean to start over. You think about what he's stepping out onto. That cursed ground. A flood has taken place. A flood has taken place. The judgment of God and killed everything. Destroyed everything. Here's what Noah did. Well, God set his bow in the cloud. In chapter 9, verse 13, he said, I do set my bow in the cloud. God gave him a promise. He would never destroy the earth again. Listen, if you and I are going to turn our cursed earth into something, we've got to rest in the promise of God. In what God said he would do or would not do. God told him that was a token of the covenant which he had established between him and all flesh that is upon the earth. And that meant not just Noah, but all them animals too. They see that rainbow, they know exactly what it is. And here's what Noah did in verse 20. Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. Right then and there, Noah fulfilled that promise that his daddy Lamech said, he'll be a comfort to us in our toil. This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Right here, you know what he becomes? He becomes Are you ready for this? Look what the word husbandman. A husband of the earth. The men is the same word, Adam. Of the earth. He's a husband, and that husband, you can't change it in what it is. It is one that is an husband to another, one that is over, one that is the caretaker of the other. He is a husbandman. He is married to the earth. He gave himself to the earth. Are you listening to me? Where Adam, because of him, it was cursed. Because of Noah, God began to give Noah intellect in how to work that ground. To know that ground like no man had ever known that ground. To know that earth the way no other man had known that earth. He became the husbandman of the earth. And he planted a vineyard. How would you know to do something like that? How would you know to do something like that? How would you know to do anything? I mean, you listen, when you get to the place where you're talking with God and you're offering to the Lord and God's talking to you, and you spend time on the altar, it's amazing what God will say to you. It's amazing what God would say to me. It's amazing what I could get out of that ground that I've been toiling and working and laboring in. What others have failed and sweat and hurt and you know, it was just worrisome. It's amazing what God would help me to do with that same situation, that same ground, to be able to take it and work it the way it was meant to be worked. The situation, listen, there are situations again in our life that's meant to go one way. And we need the Lord to show us how that way is. I know I'm not always taking the situations of my life, the fields of my life, whether they be people or families or situations, whatever they were, I've not always worked those fields the way that I should have. But if God could show us like He showed Noah, He'd become a husbandman. You could become a husbandman to that field. And then labor is not so laborious. And it's not so worrisome anymore. It's not so painful anymore. Amen. Work is still hard, but I promise you, work ain't near what it was when the curse first started. I believe they had never experienced anything like that. Everything was easy in the garden. Adam kept it. He'd never sweated, never said he sweated one time. Do you read where Adam ever sweat one time in the garden? When he kept the garden? All the flowers, all the fruit, all the trees, all the bushes, all the animals, everything being tended to, taken care of. Never said Adam sweat one time. Never said it was worrisome or burdensome. Not one time. But when God cursed the ground, it turned his life inside out. He began to sweat. He began to worry like he had never worried. Think about that. That's the thought for this evening. How are you coming along on your land? How are you coming along on the field that's before you? How's your labor? I want you to stand this evening. And Sister Riley, if you'd come.